You're listening to the ELT Chat Podcast. Hello and welcome to the ELT Chat Podcast. My name is James Taylor, and on this month's programme... I'll be talking to Barbara Sakamoto about ELT Chat's role in last year's JELT conference in Tokyo. Vicky Loras will introduce us to another loyal ELT chatter, and Dale Coulter will be giving us the lowdown on reflective practice. So we're going to begin this podcast by catching up on this month's chats. And to help me, I have Sandy Millen on the line. Hello, Sandy.
Hello, James.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hope you had a nice new year.
Yes, I did. Nice and relaxing.
Good to hear it. Okay, so this month we've had a few less chats than normal, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Yeah, only six this time.
Yes, because we've had Christmas and New Year getting in the way. So how did we kick off 2012?
We started off with a great chat about resolutions, and Shaz Nozal had a great quote, which was, "What I love is the fact that we have dreams in a period when most people have no hope." And this was the header to Sue Annan's summary of the chat as well. Most of the resolutions were to do with work, with conference and studying, but there were also things about learning a new language and making sure that we know how our students feel while we're teaching them. And the following week, there was another chat about mobile learning, which had lots and lots of great links and practical ideas. And Sean Wilden has summarised this. There were a few things about how it helps with learner autonomy, but mostly we were sharing links.
So have you got any examples for us?
Yeah, one of the ones that I use all the time on my iPad is the Guardian Eyewitness app, where they send one picture a day from around the world. And that's really great for discussion with your students, and also for getting them to see parts of the world that they maybe won't have thought about before. And there was another one called Show Me, which I think is really interesting. I've downloaded it, but I haven't managed to use it yet. And that's one where you can record things for your students and send it to them. Like, you can record an explanation for them and email it to the students.
And then on the 18th, we had a couple of really great discussions, I think.
Yes, the evening chat was about social networks for teachers, which I think mostly was preaching to the converted. But we did have lots of discussions about the best way to save all of the links and how to bookmark. And there was actually an ELT chat blog challenge that came out of it. So take a look at the website for that.
Yes, I think that looks really interesting. That I think we might be hearing more about the blog challenge here on the podcast, I've got a feeling.
Yes, definitely. The lunchtime chat was about needs analysis. And one of the main threads of the discussion was about the disparity between what a student actually needs and wants and what the teacher thinks is right for them, as well as other stakeholders involved, whether a company agrees or whether the bosses at the language school agree. There was also some interesting discussion about whether an explicit paper needs analysis needs to be done, or whether observation of needs is actually more useful.
Okay, so thank you very much, Sandy. That was really interesting, and I look forward to speaking to you next month.
Yep, speak to you then.
Back in November, the Japan Association for Language Teaching, better known as JALT, or JALT, depending on where you're from, hosted their annual national conference, and ELT Chat was represented by moderator Barbara Sakamoto. I spoke to her about the conference and began by asking her to tell us something about the organisation.
Well, JALT is the affiliate for both TESOL and IATEFL in Japan. And I'm not sure how far back it goes. I was a member first in 1983, and it had been around, you know, a fairly long time at that point already. It It's our main professional teacher organization for language teachers in Japan, both teachers of Japanese as a second language and English as a foreign language.
So can you tell us something about your role within JOLT?
I've had different roles over the years. My main involvement at the moment is through the teaching children special interest group. So I'm like the online publicity chair or something like that. It was a made up position, so I'm not really sure what it's called. But I handle trying to get stuff online.
So this year, I understand that you worked on a presentation with Chuck Sandy and also with your fellow moderator, Shelley Terrell. That was involving ELT chat as well, wasn't it? Can you tell us something about the presentation that you did together?
Okay, well, I think, I'm not honestly sure if it was originally Chuck's idea or Shelley's idea, because I came in after the two of them. But they had an idea of doing a workshop about collaboration. The Japanese presence on ELT chat and just Asia in general is pretty low compared to Europe and North America. And part of that was that originally the time was not very friendly to Asia, but now that that's changed, we're always trying to get more teachers onto Twitter and onto ELT chat. And once we do, they're thrilled. It's like being in a candy store, but getting them there is kind of a challenge. So Chuck and Shelley had the idea of doing a conference or a workshop for the conference about online networks and collaborating and trying to get teachers excited about being online and then being in ELT chat. So we organized it via Skype mostly, since Chuck and I are both in Japan, but he's up in Nagoya and I'm in Kyushu, so it's not like we would ever see each other. And then of course Shelley is in Texas. So we planned it online, worked on it in Prezi, and just basically set up the Happiness Project. We wanted to have a project to show how a network functions and how teachers collaborate. And a teacher in Slovakia, Vladimira Mikulkova, she had an idea of a happiness project of just showing their idea of what happiness was. And so we set it up on Postres, and people just submitted posters of, this is what happiness means to me. And so it served two purposes. On the one hand, it showed how a network can collaborate on a very simple project. And, on the other hand, it spread a little happiness. So it was a winner all the way around. And teachers enjoyed seeing it. And then they got excited about joining a network, and we saw some of them on ELT chat the next week. So it must have worked.
And what's the response been like so far?
It's been good. I think it will probably be better once people are in the holidays. But, there were a few teachers that came in and just had a blast on the ELT chat. And they'll go back and tell their friends, and then their friends will be brave enough to try it. And, it's a slow process. But it's making a difference, I think.
Here on the podcast, we want to help you ELT chatters get to know each other better. So every month, Vicky Loras tracks one of you down so we can all find out a bit more about you. This month, she's talking to Cherry Philippos, and she kicked things off by asking about his teaching background.
Basically, I'm from India.
Mm-hmm.
I started my teaching career after my post-graduation.
Mm-hmm.
I started teaching test preparation, IELTS, TOEFL, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then later I moved to an arts college, arts and science college, taught graduate students for a while. Then again back to test preparation, mm-hmm. teaching assistant, stuff like that.
That's pretty interesting that you taught arts students. Did you find anything challenging or something that you didn't expect to find when you started teaching them?
Right, basically we have a culture, right? I mean, the I don't know how much you know about the learning culture in India. Students are quite like, I mean, they all want to be taught, they all want shortcuts, they want to get good marks, right? No matter what they do in the classrooms, marks matter. So my objective was to make them talk, make them use language, which was a bit of a challenge, and I had not much ELT experience then, like, I mean, what are the techniques, and I was just a fresh man from college. So it was quite a challenge, right? But later that, I mean, that experience was really like eye-opening, like, I mean, how to make students use language. So yeah, that made me think, and then later, like when I went for my higher studies and stuff, yeah, I started specializing in English language teaching and things like that.
I'm only on Twitter and LinkedIn. I see you are very active on Twitter. I don't know if you use any other social media.
Yeah, I'm there on Facebook. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Facebook, Twitter, like, yeah, that's it. I joined Google Plus, but yeah, man, I just came out of it. Like, I couldn't manage all these networks. And a couple of names are there, like A-Planet and... Yeah, but not so active, Facebook and Twitter. Like, I mean, Twitter used to be my base, and now I've moved to Facebook. But yeah, just keep a tag on tweet. I mean, everybody expects you on Facebook, Vicky. I don't know why you're not keen on joining Facebook.
I think I'm afraid again.
Oh, come on. Everyone is like, I mean, you're just like, you're the one, like, I think the one who's left out.
Oh, thank you very much. I think I'm going to take the plunge this year. I'm not sure. I like how you describe the interaction on Twitter and Facebook, but how much has your teaching changed due to these social media?
Yeah, that's a very good question. One thing I've found is, like, yeah, just as this you said, like, I was able to identify myself with a larger community of teachers, right, from all around the world, and was able to relate my problems with them. And then also get some insights, get some very good links, teaching ideas, see what teachers are doing in other parts of the world and how I can adapt to that for my classrooms. Yeah, so I guess, I mean, it has influenced my teaching a lot. Like, in the sense, I'm no more alone. Like, I don't feel like being alone. Like, I think I am connected to so many other teachers, and yeah. So that has a very positive thing. In the sense, I mean, you just like to know what is happening, what others are tweeting, what others are reading, what others have blogged, right? What is happening generally, right? So that, yeah. So it's like an online staff room for me.
Something I've found eye-opening for myself are all the chats that are going on, and especially ELT chat, which is in our field, and it's absolutely amazing. I'd like it to you to tell us how you found out about ELT chat and what you like about the chat itself, what you like about the website.
I don't remember when. How I found out about the ELT chat, I was using Twitter for a while, but this thing, I guess, like, I started following people just the usual way, and then suddenly I started following teachers specifically, and then I guess I noticed this hashtag, ELT chat. Then I was curious to know, but I was not using TweetDeck at that time, so my first ELT chat was using the Twitter, and yeah, I was so skeptical about it. I never used Twitter to chat with anyone at that time. So it was, but the experience was really good. I was a little bit lost, like, yeah, anybody who's using the Twitter to chat. But I was amazed, like, I mean, how people interact and, like, I mean, pick things, pick the lead and then build on it, comment, put up links and things like that. So it was really good. And then later, like, but still, you know, I just wait for the summary to come up rather than reading the transcript. Transcript is still confusing for me. But sometimes I think I should take that to the classroom and then teach, I mean, coherence, or, like, I mean, how cohesive, how things are connected. Give the students a task, like, I mean, which tweet is isolated to which other tweet and things like that. But I haven't tried it yet.
Well, that's a great idea. You've given us all a great idea there now. To all the educators out there who are listening to you right now, What would you like to tell them, advise them, anything you'd like to tell them?
Sometimes we feel a bit overwhelmed, right? I mean, you just feel like, oh my God, I mean, this somebody from here is doing this, somebody from there is doing this. You just feel like, oh, I'm not doing enough. Right? Mm-hmm. But what I think is like, I mean, whatever we can, like, I mean, maybe it's just retweeting somebody or maybe just giving a comment. But the basic principle is to engage with your group, with your BLM, rather than like, I mean, you don't have to evaluate you with somebody else, what somebody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be on your own. You can be like, I mean, you can be still part of the group, but you have something really to contribute. So that would be like fantastic.
Oh, great. That's fantastic. I hope so as well.
Reflective practice is a topic that has been widely discussed in ELT circles recently, including an ELT chat back in December. I asked Dale Coulter to give us some background to this important area.
Okay, so what is reflective practice? In a recent ELT chat, reflective practice was described as mulling over what worked, what didn't, why, and how to improve it. So how do I see this? Well, it's a way that a teacher can use the resources around them and the things that happen in their classroom in a way that can turn these experiences into learning moments for the teacher. So when does this happen? Well, it happens after the class. It can happen up one day, 2 days, 3 days, up to a week after the class, so that your brain has enough time to have processed all the information that it learnt during teaching. After, the answers are going to seem a lot clearer and the way forward is likely to be a lot easier to identify. So what are the ways in which we can reflect on a lesson? Well, very popular is blogging about lessons. There are loads of blogs out there that people use just to talk about what happened in their classroom and get the ideas of everybody else in the ELT community. Also, sharing your thoughts on Twitter or ELT chat are great ways to reflect. Another big hit with a lot of teachers is post-planning. So basically writing a lesson plan that corresponds to what actually happened in the lesson rather than something prospective about what's going to happen in the lesson. Lots of other teachers use feedback from their students to find out what worked for them and what didn't and how they can change this maybe in the future to fit their students' needs more. The long-term benefits of this are that you can create very clear goals, you can track your progress, you can ensure longer-term rather than shorter-term development, and above all, it puts you and your students at the centre of everything.
That's all for this month in the ELT Chat podcast. Thank you to all of our contributors, and if you'd like to know more about them, such as their Twitter names and their blogs, head over to eltchatpodcast.podomatic.com. And while you are there, you can find links to subscribe to the program, now including iTunes, and listen to previous programs. Look out for our uncut interviews too, also available as downloads for those of you who like to hear that little bit more. My name's James Taylor, and I'll be seeing you on Twitter on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. and 9 p.m. GMT for ELT Chat, and next month here on the ELT Chat podcast.